President Obama's recommendations to the deficit committee as released today include some conversation about payments to federal contractor executives to help you understand what that means and what it may mean in the future for your pocketbook. Stan Soloway, the president and CEO of the Professional Services Council, joins me. Stan, thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, Francis.
Same here. What is the president talking about? What is OMB writing about in this proposal the president announced in the speech today?
Well, it'll have almost no effect on the budget, but in effect, what they're doing is completely reversing decades of sort of policy and approach to how you determine what's an appropriate reimbursement of compensation to top executives at contractor companies. In other words, there's a process in place and has been for many, many years. In decades, in fact, that where the government, through an algorithm of sorts, determines what a fair cap would be on what the government will reimburse companies for the salaries of their top executives, the top five or whatever it might be. And so it's based on, you know, a company of a similar size in the marketplace and so forth, and there's a top-line cap. What the administration has decided or apparently is recommending is that we should get rid of that, which is the appropriate measure, and instead tie what the government will pay contractors, top executives, presidents, CEOs, chief operating officers, or what have you, based on government salaries. And, you know, I think for a whole number of reasons, they've got it entirely backwards and illogical. For one thing, I think one of the biggest problems we have, and we've been talking about this for years, is government salaries lag way behind the private sector in many, many categories, not the least of which is executive compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're going to do is you're going to limit what government contractors can bill the government for their executive salaries based on the underpayment that you already make to your own executives. It's sort of a illogical construct. But I think at the end of the day, the issue is, you know, what you're doing is you're saying basically to these companies, we're not going to let you go out and compete in the marketplace, and we're not going to reimburse you for fair and reasonable compensation levels based on what the market demands. We're not talking here about executives who are, you know, making these egregious salaries that we read about in the papers and so forth. I mean, the cap says, and it's a high cap, it's $690,000 or something. So to the average person, that's a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
No question about it. But it's not the millions and millions of dollars that you, or tens of millions of dollars we read about. And all it says is this is the limit to what the government will reimburse. And so the argument back to us often is, well, you can pay whatever you want, but this is all we're going to reimburse. If you're a publicly held company, you have stock options and so forth, that you may be able to work around that. A lot of them can. But for privately owned or smaller companies, you can't. So we just think it's an illogical construct.
The White House document says the government's required to establish a dollar cap on the amount the government will reimburse federal contractors for the compensation they pay to their senior-most executives under cost-based contracts, which account for roughly $160 billion every year.
Right.
You can imagine, I'm sure, and I bet you've been asked this before by members of Congress, why are we even reimbursing companies anyway? Isn't paying the executives figured into the overhead on which they base
right,
their
right.
In the
a,
first place.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. A cost type contract, what they call a cost type or cost reimbursement contract, you have to break down all the elements of your cost, and the government has to approve it. So they actually do get to approve what they're going to pay into and what's not. They're what they call allowable and unallowable costs. So in a cost type contract, you get reimbursed your costs plus some margin or what have you, pre agreed upon or whatever. But those costs all have to be approved by the government.
It's not
like it's just hidden somewhere. You have to say, well, this is going to this and this is going to that and so forth.
Give me an example, a hypothetical example, of a scenario where this is really going to put a burden on a company.
I think the problem is that the cap they're talking about is $200,000 a year.
Uh-huh.
Now, again, that's well above, you know, average salaries in America. If you look around the Washington metropolitan area, particularly in the technology space, they're, you know, $200,000 a year is high, but it's far from the upper level of what the marketplace is demanding for people with strong executive and technology skills. So it's not the $695,000 or $700,000 cap that's the issue. It's dramatically lowering it to this $200,000 level.
Is there a number that would be okay with you to lower it to?
I think that the methodology they've been using, again, remember, this is supposed to be a way to balance out the demands of the human capital marketplace, if you will, what the executive marketplace and so forth is, with the government's interests. And so by effectively doing, and I'm using the term very loosely, a prevailing salary rate, okay, and saying this is what we think is an appropriate cap, based on private sector compensation at some fair and reasonable level is the right way to do it. So I think they have it right now. The issue originally came up, you know, there's a letter that went to the White House the other day from a couple of senators saying they really think they ought to get moving and make sure that they get the cap for 2012 established and clarified. And so we say, yeah, of course we should. But this completely turns that around. The intent was to enable companies to hire and be competitive in the executive marketplace, but to cap it at a reasonable level. By completely reversing the way you reach that level and tying it to government salaries at $200,000, which is, I'm not sneezing at $200,000. My point is that the government lags behind in almost every senior professional category. What the marketplace demands is completely illogical, and it's going to disadvantage both government and industry.
So what if it continues to stay tied to the way that it is now? The top five top management employees of publicly traded companies with annual sales over $50 million, but instead of 100%, it's 50% or 75% or something like that, where it continues to be tied the way that you would like to see it tied, but just the number's not quite so high.
Well, I mean, then you
does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I understand. What you're saying makes sense. I don't know if it's a good idea because the whole idea is to tie it to something specific and predictable and to vary, you know, percentage here, percentage there. I actually, frankly, the administration in its statement made the report made the comment that we're paying too much money to government contractor executives. And my response is, by what measure? I mean, you're not talking about the guy in Wall Street, you know, the hedge fund manager is making $50 million a year that you're paying for. There is a cap, but the cap is based on a reasonable algorithm of, as you said, the top five executives, publicly traded company, $50 million or more, and so forth. What makes that too much money? If that's what's going on in the marketplace, and I'm not talking again about guys who are pulling down outrageous salaries. We're talking about, you know, the compensation they look at across the board. It's sort of like you walk into a store and say, I'm only going to pay X for this because I don't want to contribute any more than Y to your executive salary. There's got to be some balancing act here.